We've enjoyed both of our experiences at in Rhode Island, and then again in Mount Pleasant. We were in Rhode Island for 9 months, and we were 2 years over there. We had run over to Mount Pleasant and preach on Sunday morning after I had been in the service in East Richland and presided there, and it was a wonderful experience in both of these churches. Good to be with you this morning. Would you please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12? Luke chapter 12. Keep your Bibles open if you would, please. I'm going to talk to you this morning about a very important man. He worked 14-hour days. He earned an MBA degree. He joined a very prestigious professional organization. When he wasn't working, his mind drifted to his work. He put in a 40-hour week, and it seemed so good that he tried to double it. His wife urged him to slow down. His kids missed the books read, the games played, the lunches eaten. But he said to them that he would be available when everything settles down. After all, you've heard it, it's all for them. The doctor warned him that his blood pressure was elevated, that he had excessive amount of cholesterol. The doctor urged him to cut down his Twinkies and his red meat and to exercise. He promised that he would stop eating those things and begin exercising when everything settled down. His wife nagged him to go to church. He intended to go to church someday, but it was the only day when he could crash. Everything seemed to go so well in his business that he made himself available 24/7 to everyone. He said to his wife, "Wife, we're secure. Soon we're going to go on that promised vacation." 11 o'clock that night, they went to bed. She went to bed. He sat before his computer terminal. At 3 o'clock in the morning, she noticed that he had not come up to the room. So she dragged herself out of bed and went down, found him sitting there before his terminal with his head on the desk. She touched him. He was cold. She called 911. The paramedics arrived. They informed her that he had a massive heart attack and he had been dead for some hours. At the funeral, he was eulogized, and they wrote on the headstone, "Success." But that night, when everything was dark and everyone had left, an angel came to that cemetery and wrote with his finger one word on the stone: "Fool." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Jesus told a similar parable to illustrate a similar truth, as recorded here in Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 16. And he said to them this parable: the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. Was God being rather severe with this man? God didn't say that he was evil. He didn't say that he was wicked. God just said that he was a fool. What he did was common. It's easy for any of us to do the very same thing, is it not? Notice what initiated this parable. Verse 13 of chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. If you'll notice earlier in this chapter, Luke tells us about Jesus sharing some very deep spiritual truths with his disciples. But all this man could be concerned about was getting his share of stuff from his parents. Then Jesus warns, watch out. Be on your guard against all kind of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he illustrates this by the parable which I have just read. John Ortberg has a book entitled, When the Game is Over, It All Goes Back in the Box. When the game is over in chess and in Monopoly, when the game is over, it all goes back in the box. The king, the queen, the pawn, the money, the railroads, the hotels. When the game is over, it all goes back in the box. So I'd like to point out three things to you about this parable that I think we all need to be reminded of many times. First, notice the concern of the man. The concern of the man in our parable was similar to the concern of the man that initiated Jesus telling the parable. Notice his attitude toward himself. Notice how often the man used the pronoun self. What shall I do? I have no place. This is what I will do. I will tear down. I will store my grain and goods. I will say to myself, it was all about him. He wasn't really concerned about his family. He wasn't concerned about the poor. He wasn't really concerned about anyone but himself. He had that popular attitude that we often see today. It's my life. I'll do with it what I please. Second, notice his attitude towards stuff. He says, I'll build bigger barns. I'll store more crops. And those crops and those barns will give me security and satisfaction. The problem with this is that we cannot get enough of what we do not need to give us security and satisfaction. In our society today, we seem to suffer the limitless capacity to take what used to be wants and turn them into needs. Have you noticed? The truth of it is, the more we get, the more we want, and the less we appreciate what we have. Billy Graham says, the United States is the richest nation in the world, and it yet has the highest boredom of any nation in the world. We get a house, we fill it with stuff. Then we get a bigger house, and if we don't fill that with stuff. George Carlin comments, a house is just a pile of stuff with a cover over it. I discovered these statistics. There are some 30,000 self-storage buildings in our country. 1 billion square foot of storage area. A $12 billion a year business. Have you ever noticed a lot of people have their $40,000 car sitting outside while their garage is filled with stuff? When my wife and I go into the mall, we look around and say, honey, we're drowning in stuff. We're drowning in stuff in America. Is it making us secure? Is it giving us satisfaction? Dr. Richard Dobbins suggests that husbands and wives argue over stuff more than any other issue. He centered his attention on stuff. Notice his attitude toward the sovereign. He didn't have time for God. He didn't have time for God. He simply didn't have time for God. And Jesus warns in verse 21, and this is how it will be with everyone who stores up things for himself and but is not rich toward God. This man was not against God. He did not doubt if there was a God. He just didn't have time for God. Someone has said, if the devil cannot make us bad, he'll make us busy. Take the acrostic of busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. We're made busy to enable us to be under Satan's yoke. Over 1,000 people were asked the question, what kept them from knowing and loving God? And the most often given reply was, I'm too busy. We only have so much time. We only have so much money. We only have so much energy. And if we exert all of our time and money and energy in accumulating stuff, we'll discover we have no time to build a relationship with God. So notice further the consequences for the man. First of all, he died. He died. Hate to tell you folks, but each one of you is terminal. The Bible said it. Life illustrates it. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. Death mocks all our hopes like a coarse comedian or a heartless satirist. One, the thing about us is that we forget we're going to die. You know, we used to talk about dying and we didn't talk about sex. Now we talk about sex all the time, but we never talk about dying. You notice? But the truth is, whether we want to think about it or talk about it, you're all terminal. We're going to die. Someday the game is going to be over. And it all is going back in the box. The pawn, the queen, the king, the money, the property. It's all going back in the box. Man lay dying up in his bed upstairs. As he lay there, he smelled the aroma of chocolate chip cookies drifting from the kitchen. That's my favorite cookie. So if you want to bring cookies when I come again, chocolate chip cookies. It was his favorite cookie, chocolate chip cookies. He wanted just one more cookie. So he dragged himself out of bed. He rolled down the stairs. Painfully, he crawled into the kitchen. And he reached his trembling arm up to get one last cookie from the table. And then, whack! He felt the sting of the spatula. And he heard, "Put that back. That's for the funeral." The rich fool wanted one more barn, one more crop, one more cookie, and then there was the spatula walk. It doesn't belong to you. It all goes back in the box. The pawn, the queen, the king, the property, the motels, the railroad, it all goes back in the box. Mel Blanc said, we often saw it. I love cartoons. That's all, folks. It all goes back in the box. Second notice, he was destitute. Verse 20, but God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself?" The wise man writes in Ecclesiastes 2:18, "I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me." When death knocks, goes back in the box. The pawn, the queen, the king, the property, the money, it all goes back in the box. Young man traveled with the pastor to a funeral. On his way, the young man said to the pastor, "How much did Mr. Smith leave?" Pastor said, "He left it all. He left it all." The executive who works 24/7, someone suggests, will be both successful and fondly remembered by his wife's next husband. Get this, folks. if all your life consists of the material and the physical, in the end, God's going to say to you, you fool, you've not dealt with life rationally. You've missed it. It's all going back in the box again. You're destitute. Further notice with me the caution by the Master. First of all, Jesus admonishes him and us. Don't center on the material. Luke 12, 22 and 23, and then 29 through 30. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. And do not set your hearts on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagans run after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. Moses admonished the children of Israel before they entered into the promised land in Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, so confirms His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is today. One company suggests that we sell what no one needs. Friends, that's the world we live in today. My wife and I, when we go to the mall, we often walk there. I say to her, honey, 90% of the people here, of the things here, have no practical use. Have you noticed? The problem with the human heart is we need what no one sells. We're not going to find satisfaction or security in the things of this life, in the material and the physical. Howard Hughes was once asked, how much money is enough? Guess what he said? One more dollar. You can't get enough to be satisfied with stuff. So Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. Friends, he was right on. Everything material and physical that you think you have today will someday either be taken from you or you're going to leave it all behind. Because when death knocks, it all goes back in the box. Some time ago, my wife was looking through the closet. She said, honey, I can't decide what to wear. I need more clothes. I said to her, and I shouldn't have said this, honey, you don't need more clothes. You need less clothes. If you have one set of clothes, you don't have any problem deciding which pair to wear, right? That's our problem. We have too much and depend on it for our security and satisfaction, and we forget we're going to die. And all these things go back in the box. Don't center on the material things. Don't become so busy gathering that you forget to prepare for the ultimate experience in this world. Second, Jesus admonishes, be committed to the Master. 2 Peter 3:11, Peter admonishes, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. And in Luke 12:31, Jesus admonishes, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Someone suggests wise people build their lives around what is eternal and squeeze in what is temporary. Let me re-put that. Wise people build their lives around what is eternal and squeeze in what is temporary. Two men went into an art museum, and there they saw a painting. A man playing chess against the devil. And it was entitled Checkmate. The international chess player examined the painting carefully and then said to his partner, the king really has one more move. Someday death is going to knock at each one of our doors. And it would appear that he wins. But for those who trust in and are committed to the master, the king has one more move. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. He that believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live. Florist. Got two orders for floral arrangements. Rum from a new business that was just moving into their new location, and to a family who had just suffered death. And their family. The businessman came into his office very upset. Said, you got the orders mixed up. Our arrangement said, rest in peace. Florist looked at him and said, you think you're upset. You should have seen how upset the other family was when they came in. Their floral arrangement said, good luck in your new location. You see, when death knocks at our door, and it's going to, the believer simply changes location. We're going to reap eternally what we've sent ahead. As Jesus said, store your treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt it, and thieves cannot steal it. So I want to say in concluding, if these are your priorities, harvest big crops, build big barns, achieve security, eat, drink, and be merry. Remember not to die. Let us pray. Father, how often we need this admonition. As long as we're in the material, in the physical, it's so easy for us to center in to the material and the physical. And yet, as we look at life realistically, we we realize how foolish it is to trust in that which someday will be taken from us or will be left behind. Impress upon us this morning, there is only one that we can trust in, and only one to whom we need to invest our lives, that will never let us down, who alone can give us security and give us satisfaction. In fact, he said, I am come that you might have life, you might have it in his fullness. Speak to our hearts. Draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. So good to be with you.